I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and this is Up to Date. Paul Simon might know 50 ways to leave your lover, but Dr. Wes Crenshaw has his own list. This hour we'll look at his breakup rules for teens and find out why you shouldn't try to stay friends with your ex or spend hours dissecting the relationship afterward. We'll also discuss why deleting your ex from your Facebook page and moving on to new friends might be the healthiest route to follow. That's all ahead on Up to Date, following this hour's news. Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. If your teen or young adult is experiencing a tough breakup, today we're talking to you. Do they seem to be hanging on in a relationship that's long reached its expiration date? Or are they technically broken up with a partner, yet still clinging to the hope that it will reignite? Last month, Dr. Wes Crenshaw discussed his rules for romance, the first of which was to understand the importance of breaking up on the path to true love. He's back this month to look to take that step further with his best rules for breaking up, several of which appeared in his column this week in the Lawrence Journal World. Dr. Wes Crenshaw co-authors a Double Take advice column for teens and their parents in the Journal World. He's the author of the books Dear Dr. Wes, Real Life Advice for Teens and Real Life Advice for Parents of Teens. And Wes, welcome back. Always so good to have you here.
And always nice to be here. And it won't be too long. We'll have another book to add to that list for people with ADD.
Oh, really?
It's going to be called I Always Want to Be Where I'm Not.
Okay.
So
coming up.
We'll talk about it later in the year.
Breakups are hard. They were back in my day, and we haven't figured out a way to make them go down any easier. In all these years, they're still that tough, Wes?
I think it's almost exponentially worse because we have social media now.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of strangely took me longer to figure this out than it should have. I just went through a whole bunch of breakups with clients, and I began to realize what was part of what was sticking them was they would continue to follow people's Twitter feeds. And if you're familiar with Twitter, there's a thing called a subtweet, which means I tweet talk show hosts ask too many questions, and it's to you. and everyone knows this. It's like the ultimate passive-aggressive comment. And this happens, and so people just become obsessed with that, or Facebook, or they continue to text each other. Social media has made it even harder to just disconnect.
And your recommendation on that front, while we're on that topic, is to what? Just to let it go and move on, right?
Yeah, you've got to really, I think we should probably change terms from breakup now to delete. When we are breaking up, we have to delete people from our lives.
And you want them off your Facebook, you want them off your Twitter feed, all that stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, the look in a young person's face, they come in and they say, we broke up. And that's when you expect the tears to fall. And I'm not kidding, Steve. The next sentence is, and he unfriended me on Facebook. And that's when the tears cut loose. He unfollowed me on Twitter. That's where the disconnect begins to happen, and it's where it needs to happen. But boy, is it the tripping point.
Well, in the old days, when I was a kid, you waited for the phone to ring, and you're saying that these days with Facebook and Twitter and who knows what else, there's a whole lot more involved. There's so many more connection points that intersect in a young person's life.
Well, yeah, and not only do those become part of the breakup process itself, like texting somebody or, breaking up with somebody on Facebook, which is actually against one of my rules, not only does that become part of the breakup, but then you have the hanging on process, I was saying. And so it's very much integral.
I gather it's far more typical to have a bad breakup than it is to have a good breakup.
Yeah, I often say that young people today, and I would count young people from about 15 to 30, because I'm 50, so I get to call them young people. I think that they have a harder time getting apart than they do getting together. And that just is based on the weight of the advice I have to give out. It's hard enough to find a good partner right now, and we work really hard on that. But boy, I'll tell you, the breaking up part becomes very heavy and dark at times.
Well, and there's no manual for that, right? No. I mean, kids talk about, you know, getting together with somebody. They don't talk so much about how to break up and what's involved with that. And no one's around really to tell you how to go through that, generally speaking, right?
Exactly correct. And it is, you know, I'll say it up front here. I never like to come on and say, everyone needs therapy. I do. When I listen to some of the podcasts, I realize that comes up a lot. But this is one of those places where it really is helpful for a young person who's broken up and seems to be having a little bit of trouble to spend some time with a therapist. A good therapist who's done this can redefine this story. And, you know, memories are just stories we tell ourselves about things that happened in the past. So how you tell that story in the time you are traumatized by it is pretty critical.
We're talking about breaking up this morning, teen breakups with Dr. Wes Crenshaw. If you're a teen going through a breakup and want to talk about it, give us a shout. Or if you're a parent of a teen who's struggling through one of these things and you've begun to anguish along with your teen, give us a call. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Our email address, UpToDate@KCUR.org, or tweet us at KCUR UpToDate. You know, Wes, of all the kids who come to see you every month, what percentage of them want to talk mostly about a bad breakup? I mean, how much of your caseload is made up of the breakup percentage of those cases?
It's a good question. I'll start by saying, of all the kids that come in for any reason, nearly all of them want to talk about relationship issues.
Really?
School issues, absolutely. If you're having scholastic issues, if you're having problems with parents, and there's a connection there, because how you deal with parents, unfortunately, tends to be how you deal with dating partners. So this issue of developing your relationships in the teens is pretty critical. So of that group, as you can well imagine, ultimately about 100% are going to want to talk about breaking up because of the natural and necessary cycle of
they're all going to break up.
That's right.
At this point in their lives. Yeah, just about all of them. Yeah. Why do you say that breaking up is the fundamental tool of dating? What are you talking about there?
Well, and I always sort of say flippantly that if you didn't have breaking up, then you'd be married to like 35 people, which is illegal. and my wife joined me today in the studio, so I like to be sure she knows I married one woman, and I'm going to stick with that.
Yeah.
It's hard enough to just marry one. You get 35 and it gets difficult. But more seriously, people have to remember, like we have discussed, that dating is the process of figuring out who you don't belong with. And if you can't fluidly move out of a relationship, you certainly can't get into another one, or you can't do so in a healthy way. People certainly do it, but that's not a good way to start a relationship while you're overlapped in another one. So breaking up has to be an essential part of moving through the search process. And people who lock on generally early on generally will have an early divorce.
All right. Again, our phone number here, 816-235-2888. Our email address, UpToDate@KCUR.org, or you can go to KCUR's Facebook page. You said before that teens and young adults often don't really have a clear picture of where they are in a relationship at any given point. To what extent does that add to the problem of sort of breaking up at some point, Wes?
A lot. Two people, yeah, I think I'd said once that there used to be about 5 points between friends that hold hands and being married back when we were dating, and there's about 35 now. And so if
seriously?
Yeah, absolutely. I bet I could count about 35.
And you're talking about what? I'm not sure.
Talking seriously, talking exclusively. Dating, but not exclusively, dating exclusively, calling each other boyfriend and girlfriend, being Facebook official, These are all different increments. I could come up with more. I always threaten to make the list, and then I don't. And I will like make people point on a wall. Where are they? I always say I'm going to do this. I need to do it because
and
it's
when
hard.
They do that, you're saying that the couple will oftentimes be in very different places.
Correct. That mm-hmm. is exactly correct. They can't. They one will. It happens almost weekly. One will think that one is a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and the other person agrees we're exclusive, but we're not claiming each other. Now, there's a recipe for hurt feelings right mm-hmm. there. So the more clarity, the better. And one thing I have learned in 28 years of marriage is communication sure is critical, and you have to actively work at it. And I really try to work with kids in their teens in their dating relationships to have as good a communication as they can have, because they're practicing that for future relationships.
So in our day, you would go out with somebody, and at some point you would make a declaration that we're going steady, right? That
right.
was sort of the grand proclamation to the world as to where things stand. And you're saying that today there's 18 different levels along the way that sort of piecemeal that process and break it down in a lot more finer way than it used to be.
Correct. And there still is that threshold, but it has approximately three sub-thresholds. One of them is that we are exclusively talking, and one of them is we are exclusively a couple. We are a couple. We are together. And the next one is the exchange of the I love yous, which usually does not come until after that threshold is reached.
Mm-hmm.
And each of those is another level of that going steady. That's a good example of how it has broken down into several sets.
And then you get to the Facebook declaration, too. You're saying that's one more step here.
Yeah, that's a whole interesting issue. Talk about how people differentially view what it means to be Facebook official. This will really get people in fights. And I am not 100% sure where that falls in the continuum. And I think that's because no one can exactly tell me. Some people think that ought to happen at the point of exclusivity. That's the way I understand it. But then other people see that at the point where you're claiming each other as boy and girlfriend. And yes, Steve, I understand you think, Wes, you sure split a lot of hairs. I know. I know. That is really the complex thing. And so as you were saying, if you don't know exactly where you are in the relationship, it's very difficult to know what you're breaking up. And people will instead sort of drift in the zombie relationship where they can't really tell if they're in or they're out. And this is just a recipe for depression and sorrow.
Again, we're talking about breaking up, how teens break up these days, and the difficulty of how difficult these breakups can be. With Dr. Wes Crenshaw, he co-authors a Double Take Advice column for teens and their parents in the Lawrence Journal World. Our phone number here again, 816-235-2888, and our email address, updatedate@kcur.org, or you can tweet us at @kcuruptodate. Now, I'm wondering, Wes, as teens navigate one of these breakups, and try to figure out how to get through it. These days, are parents very much help? Because I suspect the answer to that is no.
Well, some are and some aren't. Of course, when they get to my office, there's some problem. And parents, the biggest problem dynamic you will get into is the sort of fundamental dilemma of parenting, which is how much do I push my child and how much do I hold them? How much mm-hmm. do I nurture them? How much do I challenge them? That idea. And so if your daughter comes home and says, Mikey is such an idiot. She would use different language than that. That's not approved probably by the FCC. But she would say something like, he's an idiot. And the parent, being a good parent, listens to that and says, what happened? Oh, he called me a skank today. He said I was dressing in a skanky way. Oh, my gosh. The parent is like verbal abuse and mm-hmm. what. So then they don't like Mikey very much. And what really has happened here, and of course you have to watch for serious things like dating violence and verbal abuse and such. It's important. But the parent is hypervigilant because they don't want their child involved in that. Or if it's a guy, he comes home and says, Susan is so sexually aggressive with mm-hmm. me or something. So then the parent is loaded to feel frustrated with Mikey. And then, of course, they get back together, and the next day, Mikey is a prince. He, you know, brought me flowers. He got me my favorite lunch and brought it into the lunchroom. And the teenager doesn't understand, or young adult, doesn't understand why the parents are still mad. We're over it. And the parent begins to build up frustration with the dating partner, and then they get into conflict. And one of the things I try to teach parents is absent dating violence or abuse, verbal abuse, that sort of thing. Absent that, kids have to learn what is good and bad in a relationship. You can talk with them about them. You can say, I don't really like
this. So you're saying they should negotiate that themselves, it sounds like.
They have to learn this. If you try to protect them from the slings and arrows of outrageous dating fortune, then they will, A, sneak out, and B, just end up dealing with that as young adults when you have less influence over it.
Yeah. Well, if your son or daughter has gone through a tough breakup, we want to know, how did you help? Did you give advice? What other method did you use to get your son or daughter through a difficult breakup? That's our topic today with Dr. Wes Crenshaw. 816-235-2888 is our phone number, our email address, update@kcur.org. But I'm guessing that a lot of parents these days, Wes, feel pretty inadequate to deal with these kinds of things. And it sounds like, again, you're saying that parents should largely stay out of it short of something that begins to approach a relationship emergency here.
Well, I think it's good for them to be in it as what I call sort of a team player. Like, they're supportive and they, you know, they follow the relationship and they're connected to the dating partners. That's all pretty good. But when you start saying, well, the way he treats you, I'm not letting you go out with him anymore. Yeah, good luck with that. There's a famous play about that where the two people end up dead in the end. It's Romeo and Juliet.
Wow.
And you just can't you can't be that controlling and still have actual influence over the learning process of dating.
It can get just too sticky, too complicated at that point. Yeah.
And kids will pull against that, and the worst, and you see it all the time. The worst of it is, let's say Mikey really is a schmuck. And really, she ought to get away from him. Well, the reaction, we call the reaction formation, happens when the parent lays down the law and Mikey becomes a hero, mm-hmm. whether he is a schmuck or not. And you don't ever want that.
Let's go through some of your breakup rules here. You suggest saying goodbye face to face. Why?
Well, this one is one that I get a lot of arguments about from kids because they like to use texting and Facebook. My rule has changed a little now. If it's a relationship that got to the point of calling each other boyfriend and girlfriend, you really should not break up with somebody on Facebook or text. It's done all the time. If it is more casual, and there are plenty more casual relationships than that, that really has become the convention, and I can't get anybody to change.
You message him on Facebook and say, we're done.
Yeah, it's usually texting. I have seen it on Facebook, but texting's a little more intimate. I know that seems weird, but but they will have long texts. And I got to admit, as a therapist, that has been a benefit for me because instead of them coming in and telling me what they think they said, which is always biased.
They can show you the phone.
They read me the texts, and then I know exactly what they said, where they went wrong, how they might have done it differently. So that's kind of nice. But when you're in a...
Well, kids share that stuff with you?
Oh, well, it's absolutely. Every day of the week. They'll pull out the phone and say, I've got it right here. And then they go through, and very often it is not like their recollection. Their recollection was self-serving, of course, as all of ours is. And when they really have to go over and read it, not only is it helpful for me, but it's helpful for them. You can analyze communication like never before.
Yeah. Well, if you agree or disagree with the notion of whether it's important to say goodbye face-to-face or not, and if your child has gone through a tough breakup recently, we want to know how you handled it. 816-235-2888 and our email address, update@kcur.org. Grover from Independence. Grover, good morning.
Good morning. My daughter just went through one of the love-hate relationships. The young man was bipolar, and she still loves him, but she just can't hang out with him at all anymore because one day he's Dr. Jekyll, and the next day he's Mr. Hyde.
Mm.
So you've got to really, really support your child in whatever and just hope and pray they make the right decision, because it's just a heartbreak for them.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Grover. And what you can do is sort of gently point out to her that this is really difficult to rescue people who are this emotionally unstable. And girls in general, and believe you me, I've got some guys who are the same way, but in general, girls really are attracted to the challenge of helping somebody. There's nothing more validating for a person, whether you're a therapist or a teenage girl, than having somebody you care about change. And she's up against, and I've heard this repeated 100 times probably in the last 2 years, the bipolar girlfriend or boyfriend, that they're so energetic and vivacious and interesting, and their thoughts are so big, and you're so attracted to them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then they're the other half of the time, especially if they're not doing treatment and medication, they're a mess. So how strong do you think she is in terms of the breakup at this point?
Well, I mean, she's her heart's broken. You know, let's put it that way. And her mother and I are supporting her at every opportunity. It's just, I think she's done, but she's been done twice before. But, you know, we aren't going to be, you know, judgmental and say you can't see or you can't do. You've got to let her make her own decision at this point and hope that, you know, she makes, like I said, the right decision, because, you know, if you tell her no, you know, that makes us the bad person also. You kind of support her and her decision is the best way my wife and I have approached it.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's the right way or not, but.
How hard is this on you, Grover?
It's gut-wrenching. Because, I mean, you know, one night she'll come home just crying because, you know, he's been, you know, unnice is the best way of putting it. He's not physically abusive. He's just not nice. And then, you know, a week later, you know, they're going out and they're having fun and they're just doing this and that. And, you know, they're a good couple. They, you know, they support each other in their schooling. But it's just. it's a trial.
Well, and I'll give you this, and I don't know if you guys have walked this path with her. I'll give you this hint. One of the smarter things you can do, and I work with a bunch of these cases. I take teen couples in these situations very seriously, and they appreciate that. But one of the things I usually suggest to them is the place to draw the line, the clear line in the sand, is if the bipolar partner or the severely ADD partner will not get help and treatment, that's over the line. And if the person is trying, if they are working at it, if they work with the therapist, if they're taking medication and so on, then the relationship can continue. And that's, to me, a pretty good clinical decision for the kid, for your daughter, to make. It gives him a shot, but it puts the ball in his court, and that's the route I would go.
Well, you know, I'm bipolar myself, so I see a lot of myself in him, and that's probably what drew her to him. I know he hasn't getting. I know he's not getting assistance, but we'll just see how it goes. You know, right now it's definitely off, so we'll go from there.
Yeah, and I will add to that. I so appreciate you sharing that. Because it helps frame this. One of the things that is tricky in dating and breaking up is that Freud was right about one thing that I can think of, and that is that we tend to seek out partners who can solve our childhood hurts that match with the sorrows we felt in childhood. And so a daughter in this case won't, if she struggled with your moods and things, and you don't have to tell me how that was, but if she did,
well, I've been medicated longer than she's been alive.
You're a good guy. She appreciates that more than she knows. But if you haven't any experience of that, then what you want to do as a young person is go out and validate yourself for being able to change in another person what you might not have been able to change in your family of origin. And that doesn't work very well. Mm-hmm. And so what we do in therapy often is to help young people become aware And they're very good at becoming aware of that dynamic. So they can choose carefully how they're giving their love to someone and break it off when they see that pattern develop.
Well, Grover, I wish you the best of luck.
Have a great day, guys.
Yeah, thanks very much. Let's grab one more call here before a break. Let's go to April from Ottawa. April, good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead, April.
Yeah, I am just, I guess, looking for a little bit of what to do now kind of scenario. I have a daughter who has got involved with a very bad kid. She is almost 14, and her boyfriend that she was, dating, they call it dating, was older and kind of a troublemaker.
Can you tell me how much older? That's actually kind of important.
He was probably 2 years older, maybe.
Okay.
But, you know, she's not in high school. He is. He's caused some problems in the family with siblings, and we actually kind of made her break it off with him. He had, you know, indicated that he was using drugs and then using that as an excuse to cheat on her and things of that nature. And we made her break it off with him, and she consequently went into a very deep depression, started cutting on herself. We had to actually have her hospitalized earlier in the year. And I guess, we don't know what to do anymore. She is better, but not indefinitely. She's still going back and forth wanting to have a relationship with this kid, and of course she gets grounded when she's caught talking to him, and we just don't know what to do.
Well, you're in a tough situation, and I've been down that one many times. There are two or three extra catches in this versus Grover's call. For one thing, she's really young, and it isn't like people become quite wise at 17 and thus able to run their lives perfectly. But the 3 years of difference emotionally between 14 and 17 is actually pretty substantial. And so where you have to sort of give someone more rein at 17, at 14, that's a little more dangerous because she's really not as competent at that age in some of these decisions. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you in terms of your concerns about cutting back on the relationship. Now, here is the problem. In my chair, you're always looking at the long game because nobody is interested in raising good teenagers. We're all interested in raising good adults. And she is, as she ages, this is going to become more and more difficult to enforce. And she's going to be sneakier and more in that reaction formation that we were talking about. Do you know what when you ask her in a nice way, what does she say she sees in him?
He loves me.
and that does it for her. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He says he loves me, he's getting in trouble because of me, and he didn't do anything wrong. There's been times that we've had to call the police because they've both disappeared from school.
Right, and that's the sneaky part I was talking about. They're already
right.
Well on the way.
Right. So,
what do you know what his drug use is like? And you'll know why I'm asking here in a second.
Do I know what it's like?
Yeah.
I don't know a whole lot of details. In fact, I believe it's marijuana primarily, but I know that there have also been kids in that class and that group, doing coke, taking it to school, things of that nature.
Yeah, there's been a fair amount of coke going around lately. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna tell you a quick little anecdote, and you're gonna have to figure out how to do it because you really do have a tricky situation. So the greatest musical ever, in my opinion, and I've seen a lot of them, is the Fantastics. And in the Fantastics, these two neighbors build a wall between their houses to be sure that their kids will never be allowed to talk to each other. And every night, the kids climb the wall and kiss and talk. And then you realize that's exactly the intent of the two fathers. And they have to pull off a scam then to trick the kids into falling, to be able to take the wall down and become a couple. And then all sorts of hijinks ensue. This is really how these cases go. And one of the songs in the Fantastics is goes essentially, "I will not sing for you."
Aww.
But, but it says, if you want your child to do something, all you need to do is tell them no. And
right.
And so if you can figure out a way to do it, and it's hard to know without more details, if you can figure out a way to just basically suck this boy into your home and decide that that's where they can be together, and there's no smoking weed, and there's no getting to sleep over and all the things they'll want to do. But boy, he has dinner with you, and he walks the dog, and he goes to Worlds of Fun with you.
So just the
and
opposite.
So on. Yeah. And mm-hmm. and I will tell you what will happen in the musical. The minute the wall goes down, the kids begin to get to know each other, and everything goes down the tubes.
Mm.
Because then for the first time, they actually have to confront their real selves without all these meddlesome adults in the way. And
right.
you may find that
that's interesting.
The fastest way to get rid of him is to make him your best friend. I don't think you should suggest they listen to this podcast now that we have plotted against them.
Right.
If you can figure out how to swing that, it's worked many times for me, but I will admit it's a white-knuckle drive. It's like trying to land a crashing plane.
Right.
Well, April, good luck with that.
With him in the meantime.
Yeah. Let us know how it goes, okay?
All right, will do. Thank you so much.
You bet. Take care, April. Again, Wes Crenshaw joins us about every month, so you can give us a call back sometime and let us know. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our good conversation here about how to break up, how teens can break up the healthy way instead of the very arduous way. Again, if you're a parent of a teen watching them struggle with one of these situations, we'd like to hear from you. 816-235-2888 and our email address, updatedate@kcur.org. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And we're back. If you missed yesterday's conversation about one woman's quest to find meaning in her twin sister's death, you can find it in our weekend to-do list at kcur.org. A lot of people are going to be celebrating with alcohol this weekend. Imagine that. On Monday's show, learn the latest techniques for avoiding hangovers. Also, we'll look at how you filled out your NCAA tournament brackets. That's Monday on the program. This hour, we're visiting with Dr. Wes Crenshaw. He writes the Double Take Advice column in the Lawrence Journal World. He's the author of two books, Dear Dr. Wes, Real Life Advice for Teens and Real Life Advice for Parents of Teens. We're talking today about teen breakups and what's the right way to do it. What are the common mistakes that teens tend to make and how arduous all this can be for a parent. And if you fall into that situation and want to visit with Dr. Wes just for a minute, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here, our email address, updatedate@kcur.org, or you can tweet us at @kcurupdate. We received this email, a question from a listener, Wes. I have a freshman in college who's in a long-distant relationship that seems to be breaking up. He also suffers from depression. Mm-hmm. I'm extremely concerned about his mental health, but he is many hours away. What level of involvement is appropriate for a parent in this situation? And that sounds like tough stuff to me.
Well, being in a town that serves a lot of college students and adjacent to Kansas City, where there are a whole ton more, I am very familiar with that and the age group and the situation you're talking about. The first issue in that is the long-distance relationship. And we're going to do a show on that at some point. I'm recruiting some young people who are in the long-distance relationship to talk about it, and it's become much more doable nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Well, doable does not mean fun. And college, it used to be, we had a thing called the turkey drop. And when people went off to different colleges or one went away to college, the turkey drop was the Thanksgiving breakup.
Oh.
People are surviving. Get it?
You psychologists have so many cute names for so much stuff here.
Well, it's
the turkey drop.
Skype and FaceTime have extended the expiration date on the turkey at this point. And so they can do everything, including, you know, intimacy over FaceTime at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And that has caused people to survive longer. Well, then they do still eventually break up. Some of my favorite distance couples have ultimately broken up. You remember Taylor from October.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They broke up in December. And that was terribly heartbreaking for me. My heart was broken.
But because you were friends with both of them.
Oh, yeah. I thought the world of them. And I still struggle with that because, and it's relevant to today's topic before we go back to the distance issue, that they that's a great example of a young couple that you look at and it's everything that love should be. And yet they are a young couple.
Mm-hmm.
And as a community watching that, you know, we all pull for them. We want them to succeed. But the rule still holds that you've got to figure out who you don't belong with. And maybe they'll figure out they do belong together and maybe they won't. But I still believe that they will teach each other how to love. They have taught each other how to love, and that will be passed on. And that's one of the important things about breaking up is the lessons you take from the people you were with.
Well, going back to this email question, a freshman in college who's in a long-distance relationship, it seems to be breaking up. He suffers from depression. The parent is very concerned about this.
Well, most people remember Kubler-Ross, the stages of grief, death, and dying. And there are five of them: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And these are exactly, unquestionably, the same stages people go through in a breakup. And your young man, the young man in the email, is very much in the depression stage. One of the things that's not empirically correct about how Kubler-Ross set that up is you don't just go through them like steps. It's more of a cycle. And so you're sort of spiraling away from the incident, and the spiral gets bigger. So it's not quite as rapid turning.
Mm-hmm.
Some people get stuck in that depressive time and have trouble getting out. I've probably about 10 of those people on my caseload right now in the same age group. And it's probably good for her to get him hooked up with a therapist at his college or in the community that works in this area, because just talking it through and getting ready for the next relationship is actually one of the best things you can do. People need to have that place in their heart replaced if they really were a serious dating person.
Right.
And talking about how that will be different, not just about what happened, it's good to talk about that, but also imagining yourself in the next relationship.
Well, she's concerned about his state of mind. He's depressed. What would you do then?
Well, I sense her worry, which is why I think I would. And kids, it varies from tremendously successful to a total waste of time. You never know if the parent will set the kid up in therapy. It's worth trying, and you never know. I've got kids whose parent set me up with them, and I've seen them for years. And I've had others, the kid just kind of resented that and didn't want to do it, and no matter what I did to hook them, it just didn't work. But I think she should be proactive about that. No 18 or 19-year-old is finished, and they need their mom sometimes, and the best thing she could do is probably hook him up with somebody that can really talk him through this as a natural part of life. Just because this is a natural part of the growing up process doesn't mean it's easy, fun, or not depressing. And so it's okay to have somebody that mentor you a little bit.
Well, somebody once said breaking up is hard to do, and that's the subject of our show today. We're talking about teen breakups with Dr. Wes Crenshaw. Let's go back to some phone calls here. Sue from Kansas City, Missouri. Sue, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Hi, doctor. I want to tell you we thoroughly, totally agree with you about being nice to the boy. About 25 years ago, our daughter was involved in a relationship where the kid really wasn't bad, but he was a loser. He was going nowhere fast, and this went on for several years, but we were always very nice and polite to him. He came to our home, and eventually she got to realize that he was going nowhere fast. He's now happily married, and we're pleased that we thought we had a good sense, you know, not to try to forbid her to see him, because then she just would have wound up married to him or something.
Yeah, and it's okay to advise kids and remind them that anything down the road, whether you're living together or married, is really an economic partnership. It isn't all that romantic to live with anybody. It's about problem solving and partnership. And so one ought to be thinking, I always tell people don't date anybody you wouldn't want to marry. And so it sounds like that woman did a good job of mentoring her daughter without getting all controlling about it.
Thanks, Sue. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here on UpToDate, our email address, update@kcur.org. If your son or daughter is going through a tough breakup and you want to talk about it, we want to hear from you. 816-235-2888. Brad from Kansas City, Missouri. Brad, good morning.
Good morning to you. Dr. West, this is not traumatic. This is very practical, I think. But my daughter broke up with her boyfriend, but she didn't break up with her boyfriend. She broke up with her best friend.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And it's been more traumatic for her friendships within the school and her friendships, you know, generally, because it's like, is this how fragile a friendship is?
And just so I'm clear, do you mean that the boyfriend was her best friend, or when she broke up with him?
Yes. That was her best friend.
I took it that way, and then you were talking about the larger friendship group too. Well, this is the interesting problem we run into. Really good dating couples, like I was talking about with Taylor, they are best friends, and I'm not a believer that friendship really catches fire that often, but I sure am a believer that love relationships become best friend relationships, and that is the basis of a good marriage or a good long-term dating relationship. And so you're not just losing somebody to walk down the hall in school with. Your daughter's losing a companion. She's losing someone she's shared her secrets with and she's trusted and been close to and had intimacy with. And so, I think it's an excellent point that the heartbreak isn't just about the dating. It's about the closeness and the friendship.
You know, and it's been hard for her, but, you know, she's prospering. You know, there's no trauma here. The trauma is the fact she misses a friend.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And roughly how old is she, Brad?
She's 18.
Mm-hmm. 18, yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say there's no trauma, you're saying she sees the wisdom of the breakup. But it still hurts.
No, she's going to a different college than he is going to. She sees that really nothing has gone wrong with her life, but she also just misses her best friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Well, as I said a moment ago, I really believe, by what you're describing, that relationship is going to be one of the great teachers of her life. It's like that movie 500 Days of Summer. They don't end up together, but they've taught each other all about how.
Oh, I love Zoe.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It's like the best movie for this topic ever.
Yeah.
500 Days of Summer.
500 Days of Summer.
Yes.
Brad, thank you, and good luck to you.
Cheers.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's go to Kayla from Independence. Kayla, you're on UpToDate. We're talking about teens and how they break up. Kayla, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I work with domestic violence victims, and I just wanted to stress the importance of how parents deal with their children's relationships and how important it is to really take their breakups seriously and not minimize them. Because really talking through those feelings is going to help prevent a lot of issues with relationships later in life.
That no words ever have been truer. Well put.
Yeah.
Too often people think dating is sort of, in high school, is sort of not very serious. It's the essence of practice for later life and nothing short of that. And what you're doing in high school and college really is sort of aiming your sexuality in some direction. And if you aim it toward people who are abusive, we did a show a couple of months ago about sexual assault. If you're aiming towards the abusive people, that's kind of what you're going to aim towards as an adult. So I
that's
agree with you.
That's very true. Mm-hmm. I also like to say that, now I forgot what I was going to say. Shoot.
Well, if it was as brilliant as the first thing you said, we're all saddened.
It was still a good phone call, Kayla.
I look at my relationships and the relationships that I've gone back to, and I see that a lot in the women that I work with is, you know, they miss that person, and they, right, they're confused with those feelings. And, you know, teens go through that, too. They want to go back, and they want to make the relationship work. And if you don't work through that, yeah, that sets up some bad habits for later in life.
Well, yeah, and I don't want to be like, sound like Mr. Guru here, but I really think it helps if a person visualizes what the relationship is they want to be in. If you sit there and think about, you're in the breakup and you are trying to put it behind you, but think ahead, who do I want to be with? Not as a person, but as a concept. How do I want to be treated?
Exactly.
And that kind of seeing yourself, having that imagination is a lot more important than it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Kayla, thank you
for
the good call. You bet.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye.
We're talking about breaking up and how teens break up today with Dr. Wes Crenshaw. If you want to join our conversation, again, our number 816-235-2888, and our email address is updatedate@kcur.org. Now, we were talking about some of your breakup rules, Wes, and one of those rules is you recommend running like the wind for at least 90 days, meaning you want to make it a complete separation right away and don't look back for a while if you possibly can avoid it.
Right. And you have to understand that within the context of a couple others. Don't break up with anybody you don't mean to break up with. If you're not really going to break up with somebody, then work on the relationship.
In other words, don't threaten to break up when you don't really mean it.
If you're just jacking somebody around in order to get them to do what you want them to do, don't use breaking up as the tool. Second, it's called a breakup for a reason. It's over. And if you are, and that's part of the whole deleting process and everything. So all of those kind of go together, and you have to accept the end of it.
Yeah. Let's go to Cynthia here from Prairie Village. Cynthia, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I sometimes feel that the teenager is reflected negatively on television, where the woman, the young woman feels she must have a man in her life no matter what. And often I think if the parent were to direct their kids to more positive images, they may have a balanced perspective. And it's kind of sad because I can't think of anyone except for the show Suburgatory. There's a teenager on that show, and she handles herself with some level of confidence about her relationships.
Yeah, I don't know that one. And I certainly think you're right. There are better teenagers to see than others on the air. And I think parents ought to watch shows with kids or know the shows they're watching. We can debate all day whether Teen Mom is a good show, whether it shows, the downfalls of early pregnancy or whether it's exploitative and so on. I think it's a great debate to have. But kids gravitate on television towards dysfunctional peers. And I don't know that changes who they are necessarily, but it's sure what's interesting for them.
Cynthia, thank you for the call. You know, a couple of other rules that you recommend, Wes. You also say return all the stuff, everything, shirts, rings, puppies, concert tickets, all of it. Why are you so adamant on this one?
Well, first of all, the more mementos you have, the more you sit around and build a shrine to a dead relationship.
A constant reminder.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I always think it's just real interesting. You get married someday and there's somebody's letter jacket from when you were 19 hanging in the closet.
Yeah.
Why does that need to be there? And third, it's disrespectful to hang on to things that other people want back. And if you don't have a system for this, and this is an area where parents, at least for minors, can help out and be the intercede assessors in this, because the getting stuff back turns into another way to manipulate each other in the breakup, and it will often thwart the breakup. It will thwart a legitimate breakup when people are going back to get their stuff, and then one of them cries, and it just becomes a mess. And the worst of these is when people, please, everyone listening, don't let young unmarried people get pets together. In the world
are you thinking
about? Because then you have pet custody battles. We talk about it in our books. And you have visitation for the dog. It is not a good plan. So
Don't go there.
No. Shared property needs to get back in a hurry. And if it's a dog, you cannot, you know, split the dogs up or whatever.
Talk about making life more complicated than it has to be.
It's the truth. Or cell phone plans. What? No.
Don't
go there. 17-year-olds shouldn't share cell phone plans.
You also, Dr. Wes Crenshaw also recommends not to take a break from the relationship. In fact, you call a break, you know, a total waste of time. Why do you say that?
Well,
it's on one level sort of makes some sense, but you're saying no.
A break means I'm going to go get busy with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a break, by its definition, means we're going to take, you know, a break. We're going to be back right after this. And when you come back right after this and you've messed with other people, then the next round of the relationship is all about jealousy and accusation. And you made out with that person. Well, you didn't just make out. You did X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. Well, that wasn't as bad. You felt something for the person you made out with.
Right.
I just tell people, if you're going to restart it, just hit reboot and don't ever talk about this again.
Yeah.
Which is easier for me to say than to do.
Yeah. Okay, so don't buy cars together, cell phone plans, don't buy a pet together, absolutely none of those things,
no,
right?
No community property unless you're common law married.
All right. Well, Wes, we're out of time, but thank you for your time, and thanks for coming over from Lawrence today. Always good to have you, Wes.
It's great to be here.
Dr. Wes Crenshaw is a clinical psychologist from Lawrence. He joins us each month to discuss parents and teens. You'll find more information about our programs and our guests at kcur.org. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR UpToDate. You can follow me at Steve Kraske. If you're looking for a great film to see this weekend, check out our critics' 3 to See, their favorite indie, foreign, and documentary films showing on area screens. That is at KCUR.org. On Monday's show, learn the latest techniques for avoiding hangovers. Also, we'll look at how you filled out your NCAA tournament bracket. We had help this week from Kim Noble, Danny Alexander, and Beth Lipoff. Our senior producer is Steven Steigman. Have a great weekend, all. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you are up to date.